Fidel Castro's daughter says regime change in Cuba is overdue. Elena Fernandez Revuelta, daughter of former Cuban leader Fidel Castro, has strongly criticized the communist regime her father launched in 1959, stating that Cuba is overdue for a new government. She fled Havana in 1993 at the age of 37 and settled in Miami, living a modest life much like that of other Cuban exiles. Born in 1956, Fernandez grew up in post-revolution Havana as part of the privileged revolutionary elite. Yet from a young age, she became aware of the realities of communism and later emerged as one of the most outspoken critics of her father's rule, which she described as oppressive. "For me, it's been time for a regime change since the late 80s," Fernandez said in an exclusive interview with the Epoch Times. "At the time Fidel Castro died, we were all thinking had come to an end, because it was a very personalized and paternalist, narcissistic government. But it survived." Fernandez is the daughter of Castro and Havana socialite Natalia Revuelta, who had an affair in the mid-1950s while both were married to others. She grew up with her mother and stepfather, and did not learn that Castro was her biological father until age 10. She said she still feels haunted by memories from her past. She refers to Castro by name rather than as her father. "I became a dissident, I mean, publicly, in the late 80s. So I was scared. I was afraid for my daughter, that something might happen to her," Fernandez said. "I was on the dissident side, so it's kind of a double burden on her. She was a teenager, and we had what we call at that time, the special period. For decades, Cuba depended on foreign assistance, primarily from the Soviet Union, which provided substantial subsidies until its collapse in 1991. The end of Soviet support led to a prolonged economic crisis in Cuba known as the special period. For Fernandez, that period meant years of total misery without electricity, food, or public transportation, and schools were closed. Some people say that now is worse, but back in the 90s, it was terrible, terrible," she said. When Fernandez had the opportunity to escape, she chose to leave first, leaving her daughter behind because she had no other option. She escaped using the passport of a Spanish tourist who agreed to assist her. She first traveled to Spain and was then granted political asylum in the United States by the U.S. Embassy in Madrid. On December 21, 1993, she arrived in Atlanta. A few days later, Reverend Jesse Jackson visited Cuba and got Castro's approval for his granddaughter's release, which Fernandez described as divine intervention. Shortly after, she and her daughter were reunited in the United States. Why she left Cuba? From about the age of 9 or 10, Fernandez began to understand what communism and revolution truly meant. "It started with something called voluntary work. I went to my mother to say, 'I don't want to go to the voluntary work,'" Fernandez recalled. She said, "No, you have to." Under the regime, Cubans, including children, had to participate in unpaid voluntary work to support the state-run economy. Most of the work involved farming, especially harvesting sugar. "So I discovered that in Cuba, voluntary meant mandatory," she said. For her, it was an early lesson in how language can be manipulated by communists to serve the system. "I realized very early that I was being lied to," she said. Fernandez learned from her mother at around age 10 that Castro was her biological father. Until then, she had believed her mother's husband, prominent cardiologist Orlando Fernandez Ferrer, was her father. Because of the country's laws, she kept his surname instead of adopting Castro's. Her stepfather left the country with her sister in the early 1960s. "So I already had to write down in my school papers and every official paper, I had to feel that I have traitors in the family," she said. She stayed in Cuba with her mother, but their relationship was difficult. According to Fernandez, her mother was one of the revolution's original architects. "She was there from the beginning, since the preparation of the revolution," Fernandez said. "She'd been a sympathizer and a very, very faithful subject of the king," she said, referring to her mother's loyalty to Castro. The Mariel crisis in 1980 marked a turning point for her. The Mariel boat lift, as it was also known, was a large-scale exodus from Cuba. It began after a standoff at the Peruvian embassy in Havana, where more than 10,000 Cubans asked for asylum because of the economic crisis. In response, Castro opened the port of Mariel to allow people to leave. From April to October 1980, roughly 125,000 Cubans fled to the United States from Mariel Harbor. The regime called those leaving names such as gusanos and traitors. They also organized mobs to intimidate and harass people as they left. Witnessing this made Fernandez question the regime even more. People were encouraged to go and beat those people and scream at them and humiliate them and, in some cases, kill them because they were willing to leave the country, she said. And for me, was a very, very harsh turning point to see that people were treated that way officially. It killed me. In 2014, Fernandez went back to Havana for the first time in 21 years. She received permission from Cuban authorities to visit her mother, who was seriously ill in the hospital. She has not returned to the island since then, but, like many Cuban Americans, she hopes to visit when the regime falls. Fernandez is no longer in touch with her family members, including her uncle and former leader Raúl Castro, who is now 94. One of the biggest Cuban tragedies is that this madness divided families in the most dramatic way. So if you didn't think alike, you became the enemy, she said. It's terrible. It's been like that from the beginning. What is next? The Cuban Revolution started in 1953 as an armed uprising that eventually overthrew Fulgencio Batista's dictatorship. On January 1, 1959, Fidel Castro assumed power and soon turned Cuba into a communist country. More than a dozen U.S. presidents have sought to influence, change, or overthrow the Cuban regime since then. The United States imposed an economic embargo and sanctions starting in 1960, which grew stronger over time. Other actions included the failed Bay of Pigs invasion in 1961 under President John F. Kennedy, Cuba's expulsion from the Organization of American States, and a travel ban. In recent weeks, President Donald Trump has suggested that Cuba might be next, after U.S. forces captured former Venezuelan leader Nicolas Maduro in Caracas on January 3 and initiated strikes on Iran on February 28. It's a failing country, and they're going to be next, Trump told reporters on March 29. Within a short period of time, it's going to fail, and we will be there to help it out. After the United States captured Maduro, oil shipments to Cuba stopped, plunging the island into one of its worst economic crises in decades. Large protests erupted on the island amid frequent blackouts, severe food shortages, and limited access to medicine. Fernandez, however, noted that meaningful change from within Cuba is unlikely in the near future. She stated that banging pots and pans, a protest known as a cacerolazo, will not be enough to topple the regime. She explained that the communist system remains deeply entrenched, and power is highly centralized, with many original leaders still in place, although some have passed away. After leaving Havana, Fernandez became a strong advocate for freedom in her homeland. She published her memoir, Castro's Daughter, An Exile's Memoir of Cuba, in 1998. She said she had faced some resistance to her work in the United States over the years. Fernandez recently participated in a documentary called Revolution's Daughter, which will premiere in Miami on April 10. In recent years, she has stayed away from media appearances. I've been keeping silent for many, many years now, she said. I had the feeling that I had said everything I had to say.